Kids, have a great day and a great morning. Good morning and welcome again to Advent. I had to chuckle at one point as I looked over at these candles, and it looked like we were in a little bit of a typhoon and the flame was almost horizontal. Not sure where the wind was coming from at that point, but they're still lit, they're still burning, and hope is still alive. Joy has not been extinguished yet in those candles, and hopefully not in you either. What about your life? Would people describe you as a person of joy? And I was reflecting, if we had done a poll at the front door as you came in this morning and said, are you living today with joy? What would have been your answer? It would have been a yes. Yes. My kids were amazing this morning. They cooperated. They didn't complain about breakfast. They even put on their clothes that I laid out for them. It's good. It's joy. Had a good week at work. The project that I was working on, it's done. Looking forward to a Christmas break. Yeah, there's joy this morning. Or if you'd been asked that question at the door, would have been a, well, no. Or maybe a louder no. Painful week. Took the dog to the vet. That cost me money. Friday morning was snowy. Slid, hit another vehicle. There's a few thou on a vehicle that, no, I didn't really do that. Some of you, we actually do have one of the members of our congregation that had that happen to her this week. Maybe the morning alarm didn't go off and you just ran around like mad for the last hour to even get here by 10:33 as you rushed in the door. Plus, maybe you're just grieving, as Katie and Scott are, in terms of the death of a grandpa. Joy. What is it? Is joy different than happiness? Laughter. Does God really intend me to live my life in joy? Is that really his intention? And if so, how? How does it look? What does it look like? How do I choose joy? And you will notice that that is the title of my message this morning. Choose joy. And we're going to do some digging into Scripture and look at what Jesus said about joy and what it means, and hopefully get a little bit of an example from some biblical characters in terms of what does it mean to choose joy. The verse that we're going to start with this morning in John chapter 15, verses 9 to 11, what I call sort of the foundation verse for this morning. You can follow in the Scriptures or follow on the screen. I did, didn't I? Yes, thank you. Couldn't remember if I had done this one or not. The memory's short, you know, when you get old. Joy. And this is Jesus talking, all right? And Jesus talking to his disciples. And again, we're talking here relatively close to the time of moving to the cross. So he's kind of going, you know, these next chapters of John, there's a lot of instructions, sort of final instructions, and then he moves into prayer. But Jesus says this, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain, stay in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. And I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Interesting statement. He says, I've told you this. I've told you about remaining in my love. I've told you about abiding and staying in me so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Which again, you know, from a basic perspective, we say, all right, that's God's intent. That's Christ's intent, is that we would experience joy, that there'd be a sense of wholeness and fullness and completeness of joy because of his presence in my life. And our joy is to come from him. He says that my joy would be in you. And then there's that sense of source. Remember Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3, and we've talked about this a number of times. It's a benedictory prayer. His last line of that prayer is that you may be filled to the measure of all of the fullness of God. Again, that sense of fullness, wholeness, completeness, which is what, again, Jesus is saying here. I want you to be complete, full of joy. The fruit of the Spirit. Some of you could probably recite the whole list there of Galatians 5. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, patience, etc. I think I said that one twice. Joy, one of the fruit of the Spirit, part of the fruit of the Spirit in my life, in your life. Evidence of God's presence, fruit of God's presence. So if God is present, as Jesus said, if I am in you, I want my joy to be in you. So it's an evidence of that fullness, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But joy is more than just emotion, isn't it? Joy is more than just saying, yeah, this is happy day, happy face day. It's a deeper foundational. Joy is, in one author I read said, it is the gift of God in the presence of Jesus in my life. The gift of God in the presence of Jesus in my life. That is joy. Psalm 21:6, I think David would agree with that statement. David said this about God working in him as king. He said, surely you have granted the king, or have granted me eternal blessings and made me glad with the joy of your presence. Again, an interesting phrase. You've made me glad through the joy of your presence. You've brought that emotion of gladness because you have filled me with joy because you're in my life. Your presence, Father, brought me joy. Happiness and gladness. Happiness and gladness very often for me depends on circumstances, on the experiences, the things that are happening in my life. But joy is deeper. Joy, there's a foundational root there, that joy that holds me together through the ups and downs, the garbage of life that it throws at me and at you every day. And if I read the scriptures correctly, as I read this week, and it just feels like joy is really primarily dependent on my relationship with God. That's the key. That's the foundation. My relationship with God, is my joy complete because Christ is complete and whole in me, as he prayed and asked the disciples. And that affirmation of joy, again, came out of what? It came out of a command to love. Came out of a command to be obedient. And I love the way, again, as I'm looking at Scripture, how, again, these candles. You know, 2 weeks ago, we talked about hope and love, the intertwining. Here we're talking about Christ saying, if you love me, if you love, abide in me, obey, and I will live in you by joy and with joy. Again, an intertwining of those two concepts, a fruit. Joy is a gift. It's the fruit of serving God. Joy is the fruit of a fellowship with your God. Gift with a purpose. Reverend Jay Stonier made this statement, and I wanted to share this with you. He says, joy is a deep sense of purpose which permeates the whole of life. It is not an escape from reality, and I appreciate that. Joy is not, oh yeah, I can just fill myself with joy and I'm going to escape the reality around me. No, it's not an escape. It's a recognition, a discovery of God in every situation. And that is a powerful statement. Not an escape to saying I want to live in joy, but a recognition, a discovery that God is there in every situation. Because circumstances are tough at times, aren't they? Many times. Happiness and laughter, not necessarily a part of my life. I can get bummed out a lot of times because situations, expectations, things just don't work as you want. Confrontations, circumstances blow up in your face. Messy relationships, they're there. They're part of life. Broken relationships. The challenge of health. Again, this past week, talking to people, a gentleman that is from our congregation, from out west, part of our congregation when he's here visiting his mom. And Ted's walking through cancer right now, and it's a tough go. And he shared with me last week, he called both sisters one morning and said, "I'm done, I quit, I can't do this anymore." Circumstances that are not happy, but there's a joy and a peace in his reflection right now that goes beyond the circumstance. Our emotions, your emotions, I mean, think back to yesterday. How many times were your emotions up and down and up and down? Sometimes that'll happen in an hour. Sometimes that'll happen in 5 minutes. It's like, and then it's like, oh, you know, you get hit with something. But I can experience God's joy in a much more consistent way because joy is foundational. It's not emotion. Can I experience Christ's joy? Will I choose joy? And again, I use that word choose intentionally. Will I invite? When I invite, when you invite Christ into your life, it's a choice. We're saying, God, I choose to surrender. I choose to put my life into your hands. God, will you come into my life? Will you be a part of my life? Will you take over leadership? Will you be king? It's a choice. It's obedience, submission, inviting Christ to take charge. Christ says, yeah, but I want you to remain in me, to remain in my love. And if you remain in my love, then my joy is going to be in you. And my joy will be complete and whole and incredible in you. But I get to choose. You get to choose. It's a choice. And again, in digging through some scripture, it struck me that I don't know that we can ever really experience and know joy if we haven't walked through pain and sorrow and grief. If we choose Jesus, scripture, I think, would say we also choose the cross. The scripture says, take up your cross daily. And sometime I want to grab a sermon on that, but I haven't tackled that one yet. Like, what does it really mean to take up our cross daily? Because Hebrews 12 says this about Jesus. Let our fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter in our faith. And then there's this phrase, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. The joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Can I really understand joy if I haven't walked through pain and suffering and sorrow? But we're going to look at about three characters this morning, four characters out of Scripture, and say, what does it look like to choose joy? And we're going to start with choosing the joy of obedience. And some of you are saying, as parents, wouldn't it be great if my children chose the joy of obedience? That would bring me great joy. It's true. Again, John 15. Remain in my love. Obey my commands, Jesus says. And I told you this, why? So that my joy would be in you and your joy would be complete. All right, it's coming out of obedience, a choice. What about Mary? Would Mary agree with her son's declaration of joy? Mary, this young, humble, unknown small town virgin from Bethlehem, from Judea, from Nazareth. She didn't see herself as great value, of great worth. But the angel said, you're highly favored. The Lord was with her. And I'm wondering what all went through Mary's thoughts as that angel stood before her. What? You want me to submit to being pregnant, to becoming pregnant? To give birth to the Son of God? And you know, angel, you know this is not normal. You know, what are people going to think? What are people going to say? What's Joseph going to say? What will he do? Joseph, he could have me killed with one word if I become pregnant. Obedience, that's going to bring joy. And if I was Mary, I'd be going, really? Let me think about this. The amazing part to me is that Mary's response to the angel was absolute obedience. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me exactly as you have said. At that point, was Mary in laughter? Was there a smile on her face? I'm sorry, but I don't think so. I just can't see that. But she chose joy, absolute obedience, chose to, and again, the symbol here, she chose at that point to say, God, this is where you're walking. I'm going to choose to come in line with you, and I'm going to walk step in step with you. And I'm going to choose obedience, and I'm going to choose to follow. Days later, after the angel has come to Mary, Mary heads off to the hills of Judea to spend some time with Elizabeth. And joy erupts. Joy erupts as she meets Elizabeth. And these are Elizabeth's words to Mary as she hears Mary's voice. Listen to this. In a loud voice, Elizabeth exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you will bear. For why? But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to you will be accomplished." At that moment, I can see Mary erupting in joy, a smile, a dance, who knows? Let's hear from Mary. Again from Luke chapter 1. Mary?
And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers."
Can you sense a heart that's bursting with joy? Thank you, Sue. A heart that's just, whoa! There's just that affirmation from Elizabeth brought a joy to Mary. And if they didn't dance together, I don't know when they would have ever danced. There was a joy and an exclamation. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices. But was obedience easy? Not a chance. Going back to her hometown, pregnant? That first meeting with Joseph, easy? Man, there was fears probably running through her mind at 1,000 miles an hour. Sitting on that donkey on the way to Bethlehem, being very pregnant. I know you can only be pregnant. You can't be very or a little or a lot. But very pregnant at that point, on the back of a donkey for how many hours? Easy? I am sure there were times on the way to Bethlehem that Mary's going, "God, I need to choose joy. I need to remember, angel, what you told me. I need to remember what I've chosen to be a part of. I need to choose obedience right now." But God, a stable? That's where I'm going to give birth? Really? Again, choosing joy for Mary was not easy. I believe we're called to choose the joy of praise. 1 Thessalonians 1. Paul says this, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks or give praise in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Why? Why praise? Paul, why do you say, in all circumstances, you're calling me to give thanks? Because praise and thanks changes my attitude, doesn't it? It changes my focus. It readjusts my head. It readjusts my thoughts. It changes my attitude. Praise, I believe, brings us back to that awareness of, oh yeah, God, you are present here. And if you're present, I can depend on you. I can trust. I can walk with you. God is present. He lives in me and you by his Holy Spirit. He's present in the lows. He's present in the highs. Will I choose the joy of praise? As I sit by that hospital bed and see a family in grief, in sadness, celebrating the birth of a child. Yeah, that's joy. That's easy to be joyful then. When you grieve the death of a family member, a friend, when you're facing a mountain, and you look at that mountain and you go, I don't see any way over this, around this. I don't know. I can't see any way through. Can you choose praise? Will I choose to give thanks? Will I choose joy? And again, you're not giving thanks, and you got to look back at that phrasing again of Paul's statement. We're not giving thanks or praise for the situation. We're not giving thanks for the mess. But we're giving thanks and saying, God, I know you're present. I know you're here. I know you are in this. And you also promised, God, that you're going to work all things for good. Somehow, some way. Will I choose to give thanks and praise for an answer to prayer before I even see it? Paul and Silas. Paul's an amazing character. Sometimes drives me crazy, some of his statements. But he's an amazing character. Think of Paul and Silas sitting in prison. They've been arrested. They've been beaten for hours. Thrown into a prison, what do? They sing. They praise. Midnight, they're praising God. Are they praising God because it felt so wonderful to be beaten? No. They're praising God because they know that God is present with them in the midst of that prison cell. And of course, you know what happened. We'll go back to that story some other time. After the birth of John the Baptist, Zachariah and Elizabeth, the parents. Zachariah, John's father, prays, sings a song of praise, again in Luke 1. And he says this, "Praise be to the Lord and God of Israel, for he has come and he has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation." And my first thought was, Zachariah, why aren't you just giving praise for a son that was born? And I'm sure there was joy. There better have been joy because he just had a son born. But he is praising God because he sees that God is beginning a redeeming work of salvation. There's culmination here of God's plan. God's plan of conceiving a redeemer into this world. And Zechariah just celebrates and rejoices. Praise reorients my attitude. It reminds us that God is present. It helps us to keep our eyes on Him and not the situation. Thirdly, choose the joy of participation. Am I willing to open and walk through that door and participate in what God is doing? Mary did. Mary willingly said, "Okay, God, if that's the door you want me to open, let's go." Not knowing, Mary didn't have a clue that at that point there would be a cross and she'd watch her son die on a cross. Mary had no awareness at that point in time of all that she would suffer and the pain that she would experience as she watched Jesus grow and live and serve and love. And yes, Mary could have said, "You gotta be kidding, God. It is about time you sent a redeemer. We've been waiting for thousands of years. In fact, it's been well over 400 years since we even heard you, God, speak through the prophets. But, me pregnant with your son? No. How about you choose Mary over there, or Martha, or Sarah, or Deborah? Go, choose one of my friends in the village. I'm not ready. I'm scared. I'm afraid of what people will think. I don't want to offend Joseph." I don't know all the fears and doubts that could have run through her mind. Participation in God's work means opening a door. Opening a door into some unknowns, yep, but there will be joy. Mary said yes, and we've seen that. My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul glories. My soul rejoices. And then she makes this phrase, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed." Really, Mary, incredible awareness and understanding of the God who is now moved and moved in her heart and life. God's call to obedience is a call to participate. I believe that God's working through this church, through the gathering church in this community. And I believe he wants to do much, much more than he even has done at this point. What is God inviting you to participate in? God wants to impact this world through you. He wants to change your office. He wants to impact your coworkers, teachers. He wants to impact your children, your kids through you. He wants to change their lives. He's got a plan. Is God inviting you to share in community suppers here? Because that friendship, that relationship will develop and grow into something that'll be incredible and wonderful. Is he inviting you to go to Haiti and teach? Is he inviting you to start up a new business and invite people into that business, and God will bless that business and bless employees through you? What is God's plan? What is God's work that he's inviting you to be a part of? Ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to where God's already moving and working and say, God, do I have a role here? Is this a door you want me to open? Is this a place you want me to jump into? The joy of surrender, the joy of participating. There's so many times that I believe we say, God, I've got an idea. I think we should. God, what do you think? And there may be times that God is leading and planting that idea, that seed. But the better question would be, God, what are you doing? Where are you working? How are you working in my neighbor's life? Are you the one that's calling me to speak into their life, to be there? I've never even talked to him. But God, are you inviting me to participate in what you're already doing in his heart and life? And again, it's not always going to be easy. Participating in God's work, there's joy, but there's also pain. Remember James? The writer James, in the book of James, one of the first verses he writes this, consider it pure joy when? Some of you know the rest of that line, don't you? Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. There's joy, folks, in participation with God, but there can be challenge and pain along the way, because we're partnering with God, we know God's there, he's present, and there will be joy. Last one, the joy of expectation, choosing the joy of expectation. And I chose this particular picture again because to me it symbolized that sense of walking down a road with God and going, God, I don't know what's around that next corner. I don't know what's around that next bend. I don't know what, God, you've planned for me in this next season of my life. But God, I'm going to choose to walk with you, and I believe, God, that you're going to bring joy. Expectation. Some of you are probably doing an Advent calendar with your kids right now. And I sense as they're either X-ing off the calendar or X-ing off the days, there's a sense of excitement, anticipation. You start putting that Christmas tree up, there's expectation, there's anticipation. You put a few gifts under the tree, that just enhances the craziness and the joy and the anticipation, the expectation. It's all part of it, isn't it? Planning ahead for a marriage, man, there's expectation. Preparing for the birth of a child, wonderful joy. Anticipating serving and loving and giving over this Christmas, I pray that that expectation also brings you joy. There's joy in beginning a new career. And God's going to call some of you over these next 6 months, year, into a new career, a new area of ministry and work, guaranteed. And will there be trepidation and fear in that? But I pray there will also be a joy and a sense of expectation. God's opening the door. God's putting a door in your way, and you're saying, God, I choose to walk. I choose to open the door. I choose to follow that path. I don't know what that next corner is going to be there, what's going to be there. But in this season of Christmas, folks, there's no better time than to choose joy. Choosing obedience, choosing to partner with God, letting God open up your eyes to his work, accepting his invitation to work along with God, and work along with him with praise and expectation. Experience joy. We've lit the candle of joy this morning. Allow joy. Choose joy. That foundational, keen awareness of God's presence in your life. There may not always be times of laughter and a smile on your face, but there can be a joy of knowing, I walk with God through this situation. God is present. Worship team, come.
Our last song is a song about choosing joy. So I invite you to consider these words, declare these words to God as we sing. So please stand and join us.
Trading my sickness, I'm trading my